Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The election statistics are amazing with regards to what happened with the election of the president, Donald J. Trump. But also, we're going to be talking about the election results in other areas, the Senate races, the House, and the governors across the country. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom with our guest, Jonathan Alexander. He is the Director of Public Policy for Liberty Counsel and Liberty Counsel Action in Washington, D.C. Jonathan, the amazing thing is the evangelical vote accounted for 27% of the entire vote. And when you factor in the Roman Catholic vote, it actually approaches nearly 50% of the entire electorate of the United States. And that is astounding. 81% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's amazing. The 81% voted unequivocally for Donald Trump, mentioning at the as their top priority was his ability to place a pro-life judge on the Supreme Court. Many get out the vote efforts were marshaling up efforts towards the end of the election. But folks were skeptical. The polls and every question and answer that different news networks were doing didn't have Donald Trump in the lead at all. He was trailing by several points. But, to see this turnaround and certainly the evangelical vote coming out in support of Donald Trump demonstrates that there really is a majority, often and sometimes silent, but certainly a majority of believers that are paying attention to public affairs and really certainly had their voice heard in this recent election.
Well, in fact, if you look at the evangelical vote for Romney in 2012, it was 78%. Again, Donald Trump got 81% of the evangelical vote. McCain got 73% in 2008. And George W. Bush got 73% in 2004. So 73 in 2004, 73 in 2008, 78 in 2012, but 81% for Donald Trump in 2016. And of course, obviously, one issue here was the issue of the United States Supreme Court and the justices that will be nominated by the next president. And I think it was a complete rejection also of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and their agenda, which is very radical.
Oh, certainly. If you remember some of the more significant moments of this election, certainly that first 15 minutes of the last debate when Donald Trump demonstrated that he had a pro-life stance and that if given the opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court judge, he would ensure that that judge have a pro-life perspective, which was in stark contrast to who and what Hillary was saying during that very debate and what she, over her career, has demonstrated, a support for Planned Parenthood, a support even for extreme forms of abortion. Certainly the evangelical vote in a logical, well-thought-out choice determined that Donald Trump would be best fit to push and promote pro-life initiatives if he was given the presidency.
Now, when you look at the Senate, not only were the liberal pundits predicting that Donald Trump would lose, but they also predicted that the Republicans would lose the control of the Senate. That didn't happen. Democrats were defending 10 Senate seats, Republicans defending 24. The final results are that Republicans still have 51-52 seats, and so they still have a majority, and therefore they not only continue to take the majority of the Senate, but they retain the majority in the House and now have a Republican president in the White House.
Right, and this should encourage local politics. Certainly the Trump ticket aided in many of these elections, getting the senators their vote, and folks that would probably have voted up and down the Republican ticket. But in many states, Senate Republicans garnered more votes than Trump, which means the local efforts that these state senators were doing in these different get-out-the-vote attempts certainly came out, and that local citizens did understand that their senator and his place in Congress has a very important role in promoting what happens in the direction of our country. So it's not just what happens in the presidency. Certainly what happens on boots on the ground in these individual states has a huge impact, and I think the voters understood that.
Well, you know, in the House, there were a few seats that were lost to the Republicans, right. To the Democrats, but they still have a huge majority in the House, so it didn't really make any difference. Three seats I know in Florida that were changed to Democrat U.S. House of Representatives are three people in Florida who actually endorse the LGBT agenda. And that includes John Mica. John Mica was a longtime conservative, but he voted to include gender identity in the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And then there was two others, one from Sarasota, who ran on the position that he was in favor of marriage. And as soon as he got elected, he opposed the Florida Marriage Protection Amendment. And he opposed the issue of a marriage between a man and a woman. So he switched and betrayed everyone. Well, he's not in office anymore. And then one in South Florida did the same kind of thing, came out with a very pro-LGBT agenda. All three of those were rejected. And what I think it shows is that people are looking for principled individuals who have conservative values. And when they can't tell much difference between them on certain issues, especially the moral social issues, and the Democrats, then they're oftentimes voting for a change. And so that's what happened in Florida. I think it really sends a message for the next people who run 2 years from now, right, in those seats to stake out their position on good conservative values.
Right. And it goes to iterate two twin principles that I think we have to look for in this next Congress, from the citizens to Congress. Optimism, you know, understanding that they're in a good role to make great changes, but also accountability, you know, reminding our Congress members that, you know, it is the citizens that are paying attention to these issues, that are concerned about these issues, that are principled voters that have placed these senators and lawmakers in power. And that if, you know, as your examples demonstrate, if they do vary from their positions on certain issues, that principled voters will remove them from their seat, that their job is guaranteed so long as they do the things that they were placed in that position to do.
Well, and we have 33 governors now are, right, Republican, and that's the most since 1922.
Which is incredible if you think of how constitutional U.S. constitutional amendments come up, needing, you know, about 34 to 36 states to place something on the U.S. Constitution as an amendment. You know, we're encroaching on those numbers, and so we can certainly see efforts to pull back some of these liberal policies that have governed our nation in the past 40 or so years. We can certainly see the governors taking leadership in their individual states and ultimately making these issues on the national scene affecting the U.S. Constitution as we have more and more Republican governors. But as you said, hopefully following what the party platform has allowed them to do in repealing certain initiatives like defunding Planned Parenthood or certain initiatives that promote the LGBT community. If we have more Republican governors, if this electorate is having more of these principal voters and paying attention to these issues, we can certainly see it this effect stemming the tide on liberal agendas in this country.
Well, you know, there's 3,143 counties in the entire United States. Of those, less than 100, I think it's actually less than 50, went for Hillary Rodham Clinton. So really, if you look at 3,143 counties and less than 100, I think it's actually less than 50, voted for Hillary Rodham Clinton, you've got 3,050 or at least 3,000 to 100 at minimum of counties went for a conservative principles at the county level.
Right.
It really shows you some of these urban population areas that actually tilt the entire state to a direction that's, right, contrary to the rest of the state's values. That certainly happened in Virginia, where everything was going for Donald Trump until the very end. The last three, right, counties up in the northern part, which are southern Washington, D.C., tipped, right, the state to Hillary Rodham Clinton. What it shows you is there's a lot of people out there with conservative values and a candidate, and I think they're willing to even cross party lines to vote for more conservative values. And certainly I think it was a rejection, if anything, of Barack Obama. People didn't want a third term of Barack Obama, and they certainly didn't want Hillary Rodham Clinton. Well, we're going to be talking tomorrow on Faith and Freedom about not just the election results, but we're going to be moving forward to the priorities, because there is an incredible opportunity now moving forward. No one would have actually predicted this opportunity. Right. I think we have more opportunity now going forward. Doesn't mean that we're going to get everything, but we have at, right, least the opportunity to move forward to really make some significant headway in 2017 and beyond. Our guest has been Jonathan Alexander, the Director of Public Policy for Liberty Counsel and Liberty Counsel Action in our Washington, D.C. office. So tune in tomorrow on Faith and Freedom as we talk about some of the priorities and some of the opportunities in 2017. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.